Commence our service tonight with hymn number 252. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See, in the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. 252, and we'll stand as we sing together. Together in prayer, and let's ask the Lord to meet with us tonight. Father in heaven, we do come to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We are thankful to thee, Lord, that we can cast ourselves upon thee tonight for this service, for the preaching of thy word. Realize, O God, that it is through the foolishness of preaching thou hast ordained to save them that believe. And so tonight, Lord, we pray that thou wilt save a people, even through this service, through those that are in the service and those who listen. And we pray that tonight, O God, thou wilt do a work of grace in hearts and lives. We thank thee, O God, that thou art the answer to every need, Thou canst break every chain, every fetter of sin. Thou canst set souls free. And we pray that Thou wilt do that tonight. We pray that Thou wilt, O God, move in an effectual way in hearts and lives. We thank Thee for the effectual call of the gospel. We thank Thee for that call that people are drawn irresistibly to Christ. And we pray that that call be heard tonight. There'll be those who will be irresistibly drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be those tonight who will come and embrace Christ and trust in Christ and know His saving grace. We pray for this tonight. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt undertake, Lord, for us. Give us help tonight. Give us power tonight. Give us unction tonight. And grant, Lord, that we might speak as a dying man, the dying sinners. Thank You for the opportunity this morning and this afternoon of preaching Thy word, and again tonight. Lord, we pray for those that have heard already today, that Thou wilt work in their hearts. Those who have sat for a long time and listened to this preacher. Oh God, we pray that tonight Thou wilt call them. Tonight Thou wilt save them. Tonight will be the night of nights in their experience. Not only here in Ballycowan, but across our land. In every city, in every town, in every village, in every country district, in every church, under the Free Presbyterian Church, and everywhere the true gospel is preached tonight, right across the nation and across the world. We pray that tonight, Lord, we might hear of those that have come into Christ, of those that have left their sin and trusted the Savior. Remember those tonight who need our prayers, especially in our congregation. Those who have illness, think of Mrs. Benison. We think of her tonight, Thy servant. Remember Mrs. Steele. Remember her sister Isabel. We thank you. She's got home from hospital. But these other two ladies are still in hospital. Think of that girl, Pamela Nelson. We pray for Pamela tonight. We pray for Thine intervention for her. We praise Thee that Thou hast drawn her back to Thee. And we pray now, O God, that Thou wilt help her in body and touch her husband and family. And draw that family to Christ. Remember the Davisons. Remember Derek. We thank You for Your hand upon him this week. And even the good results, relatively speaking, in regard to his condition. And yet, Lord, they're not seeing. We pray that, Lord, You'll draw that cup, long prayed for. Draw them into Your kingdom. Oh God, we pray that we will hear of these souls coming to Christ, even in these days. Father, we pray that You'll undertake, Lord, for our missionaries too, and all the needs that there are. We pray that the Spirit of God would come, that the power of God would be upon the word. And Lord, that Thou wilt bless in a mighty fashion for the glory and praise and honor of Thy name. We ask these things for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're turning to the hymn 242. It's on the screen, or if you prefer the hymn book, Sinner, how thy heart is troubled. God is coming very near. Do not hide thy deep emotion. Do not check that falling tear. We'll stand after the introduction and sing. Let's sing with all our hearts unto the Lord.
Oh, We're reading tonight from the Word of God in the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. The book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter, and the opening verse. Let us hear God's Word tonight. Proverbs, chapter 29, and verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. But he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthroweth it. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. The righteous considereth the cause of the poor, but the wicked regardeth not to know it. Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. If a wise man contendeth with a foolish man, whether he rage or laugh, there is no rest. The bloodthirsty hate the upright, but the just seek his soul. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterward. If a ruler hearken to lies, all his servants are wicked. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lighteneth both their eyes. The king that faithfully judgeth the poor, his throne shall be established forever. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth. But the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, shall give delight unto thy soul. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. A servant will not be corrected by words. For though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. He that delicately bringeth up his servant from a child shall have him become his son at the length. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Whoso is partner with a thief hateth his own soul. He heareth cursing and bereath it not. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. An unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is abomination to the wicked. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word. We do welcome you all tonight to our service in the Lord's name. If you're visiting, give you a special welcome. Good to see Reverend Andrew Murray with us tonight. And I can't remember your girlfriend's name, but anyway, we're delighted to have her as well with us tonight. And we trust the Lord will bless you as you visit with us in the Lord's name. Could I just mention that this is our building fund Sunday, and do remember the offerings as you leave for that purpose. And then the meeting on Tuesday night for prayer and Bible study, and I will be along to consider again with you the fourth chapter of Ephesians as we look at this portion of God's Word, and we trust you will join with us for prayer and for the study of the Scriptures on Tuesday night. Next Lord's Day, God willing, we will be here to bring the Word of God at both services. Naomi will sing in the evening time in the gospel, and I will be here to bring the word. Do remember, please, the times of prayer before each of the services. The missionary council offerings are also next Lord's Day. Remember those who are sick in our congregation. Mrs. Benison and our sister Mrs. Steele remain in hospital. Do remember these ladies, and we're thankful for Isabel Gilmore getting home, and do continue to remember her in your prayers. This other lady we've been asked to pray for, Pamela Nelson, do remember Pamela in your prayers. She's now in the city hospital too, and pray that the Lord's hand of healing will be upon her. We're thankful of hearing that she came back to the Lord, and we rejoice in that and do continue to uphold her at the throne of grace in prayer. Saturday the 20th of August at 2 is the reopening of the extended church building for Antrim Free Presbyterian Church in Park Hall, Antrim. Reverend Mercer, the deputy moderator, is the preacher, and everyone is welcome to that service. And then Lord's Day evening, on the 21st of August, the Saintfield district of the Royal Black Preceptory will be joining us for evening service. I will be the preacher on that occasion. Soloist will be Mrs. Vivian McCoy. For children's meeting and parent and toddlers, Awana, Youth Reach, Youth Fellowship, etc., these meetings will be resuming again, no doubt, in the autumn time, just a few weeks away, really, when you think about it. And if you can help in any of these areas of the work, do speak to any of the leaders or member of session, and your help will be greatly appreciated. I think these are all the announcements we have to make this evening. We're going to join the singing of another hymn, "Why Do You Wait, Dear Brother?" 251 in the book. Why do you tarry so long? Your Saviour is waiting to give you a place in a sanctified throng. We'll stand after the introduction and sing before we bring God's word tonight. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29 and verse 1. With our Bibles open, let us look at this passage of God's word, this verse of scripture this evening. Let us all pray. Our Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to speak to you tonight again upon one of the great texts of God's word. We've been looking at several of these in recent weeks. And tonight we come to Proverbs chapter 29 and the verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. The subject tonight is broken beyond repair. Broken beyond repair. This is a very solemn text, and it deals with a very serious issue. And may the Lord tonight, in the closing moments of this service, solemnize our hearts as we look at the issues that are raised by this text of Scripture. In front of every unsaved person, there is a deadline. And if you cross that deadline, there is no remedy for you. There is a time I know not when, a place I know not where, which marks the destiny of men to heaven or despair. There is a line by us not seen that crosses every path, the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. This text tells us about that line. Another text tells us similarly in the book of Job, where it says, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, and then a great ransom cannot deliver. What a hopeless position is the portion of those who are cut off in their sin. There is no ransom that can deliver them. There is no remedy for them. What a sad word is hopelessness. It is one of the saddest, if not the saddest, in the English language. And as we look at this text this evening, I want you to see the sad plight, the hopelessness of those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ and his gracious offer of salvation. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Broken beyond repair. The first thing I want you to notice tonight here is God's merciful conviction. That spiritual conviction that God often gives. Our text says, he that being often reproved. You see, God in loving patience deals with the sinner over and over and over and over again. The sinner is often reproved. And what patience God has with sinners. What love God demonstrates toward sinners. What mercy God shows toward those outside of Christ. Now, if God had spoken only one time, it would have been more than justice to man. But God speaks more than once. God strives again and again and again. God's Holy Spirit knocks upon the heart's door of men and women and young people. God reproves our sins. He calls men and women over and over again. Isn't he calling you tonight? as you hear the gospel again? Isn't he knocking at your heart's door again tonight as you listen to the Word of God? How does God reprove us? How does God convict us? How does God speak to us? Well, first of all, he speaks through the Spirit. The Bible teaches us in the 16th chapter of John, in verse 8 and following verses, that the Spirit of God convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And before we were saved, those of us who have trusted Christ, the Spirit came to us and told us where we were wrong, told us of our lostness, told us that we were sinners, that we needed to get saved. Can you not remember, even as a child, being in conviction? Conviction reaching your heart. The Holy Spirit came into the very depths of your soul and spoke to you about eternal things. And perhaps even tonight, as you listen again, God is speaking to you by that inner voice, the Holy Spirit of God. And so God speaks to us through the Spirit. But God speaks also through sickness. Have you ever been sick? On a bed of affliction, and God has spoken to your heart, and you realize your mortal frame is not going to last forever. You have a consciousness during that period of time of your own mortality. You realize your body is winding down to the grave. And sickness, my friend, is often that messenger of God to bring people under conviction. And maybe there's been sickness not only with you, but in your family. Or as you look at that loved one whose life is ebbing away, God has convicted you of your own spiritual need. And so we have the Spirit, and we have sickness, and then we have sorrow. The heartaches that people experience in life. And no one goes through life without experiencing heartache and the loss of a loved one. And God has spoken to your heart. There's anguish, and there's sorrow, and there's heartbreak, and there's loss. And you recognize that you needed someone to give you comfort and someone to give you strength. Someone to make sense out of all that was happening around about you. Your heart was broken. And perhaps even is tonight. God is speaking to you in the midst of sorrow. And so we have the Spirit, and we have sickness, and we have sorrow. And then God speaks through his servant. He speaks through his servants, of course, in various ways, through preachers of the Word of God. And as I preach the Word of God tonight, God speaks through me. Not that I'm anything of myself, but I can say with Isaiah the prophet tonight, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel." And my friend, I try not to preach a sermon until I have soaked it with prayer. And my prayer is that tonight, as we preach the word, it might be with power. That the word of God will reach your heart tonight. That lives listening to this service will be changed by the power of the word of God. Because the word of God is quick. That is, it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray each time I come into this pulpit that God would give me a message, that I would be the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message. And so God speaks through his servants. And God speaks through even the songs that are sung, the singers who come with their ministry and song. And you hear that message in song, and it strikes a chord in your heart. There's conviction of sin. Sometimes, too, God speaks through the separated life of a brother or sister. Someone that you work with, someone in your family whose life is a testimony to the grace of God, and you see the way that person lives, and God speaks to you through that life. Ever hearing the testimony of a man who was wayward? His mother was a godly woman. And when he came in at night, intoxicated, oftentimes he would see his mother there on her knees. One night he staggered into the room and tripped right over his mother as she was kneeling at the bedside and praying for his precious soul. And the Lord, through that, brought him to Christ. Maybe tonight it's the life of someone in your family, a mother, a father, someone close to you in the cords of life. And God is speaking to you tonight. But of course, God speaks through the Scriptures, through the Word of God, through that gospel tract that is put through your door or put into your hand, through the message of the Word of God preached from the pulpit, through the reading of the Bible yourself. The story is told of a deep sea diver. He'd been fighting the Lord for years. And as he went on one of these dives, he dived down to the bottom of the ocean, and there he found an old encrusted bottle with a cork in it. And he brought it to the surface, and he took the cork out, and somebody had put a verse of Scripture in that bottle and put the cork in the bottle, dropped it into the ocean. You know what the verse was? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you know what that deep sea diver said? He said, if God loved me enough to follow me to the bottom of the ocean, I'm going to give my life to him. And he did. You see, God speaks through the Scriptures. And God is speaking to you tonight through his word. You've been often reproved. You've been often reproved. But then I want you to notice, secondly, not only here in this verse of Scripture do we have God's merciful conviction, but we have stubborn rebellion, because the Bible tells us here, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. Notice what happens. He is often reproved, but he hardens his neck. In other words, he stiffens his neck. He refuses to get right with God. God has spoken to him, but he stubbornly rebels against God. And is that how it is with you tonight? God has spoken to you many times, but you're stiffening your neck against the gospel. You're stiffening your neck. You're rebelling against the gospel tonight. Sometimes people harden their necks by procrastination. They say, I get saved, but not now. You're in this building tonight, and God has spoken to you. You're listening to this sermon tonight. You've heard the songs of Zion in the congregational praise. You've heard the Scriptures read, and the sermon has now been preached. And you say tonight in your heart, one of these days, Mr. Smiley, I'm going to get right with God. But not tonight. You know what the Bible says? Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27, verse 1. Tomorrow is a period of time found nowhere except perhaps in the fool's calendar. Let me repeat that. Tomorrow is a period of time found nowhere except perhaps in the fool's calendar. What he means by that is tomorrow never comes. What is there about a sinner that makes him want to hold on to his sin? What is there about that? The sinner is plagued because of sin. The sinner is troubled because of sin. The sinner has burdens because of sin. The sinner is suffering because of sin. He has sickness and sorrow and fears and disappointments and heartaches. And yet if you ask him, If he wants to get saved, he says, not now. Tomorrow. Or next week. Dr. Paisley used to say about the old fella, heard the gospel. He said, oh, let me get the 12th over. I'll get saved. And then he said, let me get Derry Day over. And I'll get saved. Let me get Black Saturday over. I'll get saved. But God says today, friend, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Don't say next week. You mightn't say tonight, the end of the night, or another moment even. The only breath you're sure of is the breath you now breathe. Breath you now breathe. Listen. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. Tomorrow may never come for you. And people harden their hearts by procrastination. People harden their hearts, secondly, by pride. The reason why many people will not publicly decide for Christ is that they're afraid of what other people will think. And the fear of man bringeth a snare. We've read that verse tonight earlier. And don't let foolish pride keep you from coming in repentance to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been coming here through the years, gospel meeting after gospel meeting. You think you're as good as others. And the devil is telling you tonight not to make a fool of yourself. He's telling you not to humble yourself. He's telling you not to bow the knee. He's telling you not to come to Christ. And so you stiffen your knees and you harden your heart. And you lift up your head and you walk right out of this meeting tonight again. And pride is keeping you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Filthy, stinking, rotten pride will bring you to hell itself. And then there are pleasures. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4 speaks of lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They say if they were to give their heart to Christ, they would have to give this up or that up or the other thing up. And so they say, I'm not going to give those things up. What folly is that? God only asks you to give up things that hurt you. Things that have the potential to destroy you. And what you are being asked to give up, my friend, is nothing compared to what the Lord Jesus Christ will give to you. Who would not give up dirt for diamonds? I'm not inviting you to a funeral tonight. I'm inviting you to a feast. I'm not inviting you to death tonight. I'm inviting you to life. This poor down and out man came up to the preacher in the street and asked for money to get something to eat. And the preacher was a very wise man. He took him in. He said, I'll take you in and get you something to eat. And so he took him in. He bought him something to eat. And then as he did that and sat alongside him, he pressed upon him the claims of Christ. And he urged him to get saved. You know what that down and out man said? No, I couldn't come to Christ. There's so much to give up. Can you imagine that? Isn't the devil a real deceiver? Here's a man in the depths. He's down and out, and yet he won't give up the pleasures of the world for the one who can give him everything. Oh, my friend, tonight, are you rebelling against the gospel? Again and again and again. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. But then, my friend, there's sudden destruction in this text. It says, shall suddenly be destroyed. You see, there's an end to God's patience. God does speak, but finally, God's patience wears out. Let me show you how a man can be destroyed. There are three ways. You may be destroyed. First of all, his mind may be destroyed by strong delusion. That's the reason that many people are in the false cults today. They have heard the truth. They have refused the truth, and now they believe the lie. And the Bible speaks about this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 11 and 12. And listen to what the Word of God says here. 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 11 and 12. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. God sends strong delusion. And people believe a lie. Their mind is destroyed by strong delusion. But then secondly, there's this destruction of the spirit through spiritual desertion. You see, the Holy Spirit can be insulted. The Holy Spirit can be sinned against until the Spirit no longer speaks to an unsaved person, and the Spirit withdraws himself, and the sinner is deserted and left alone. And the Bible says tonight, and listen to what the Bible says, my Spirit, the Spirit of God, shall not always strive with man. The Spirit of God. And you're in danger tonight. Of the Spirit deserting, never speaking again to you about eternal issues. The Bible speaks in Romans chapter 1, book of Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Listen to the words of Scripture. It talks here about God giving people up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Going down the chapter to verse 26. Romans 1 again, for this cause God gave them up. Notice it. God gave them up again unto vile affections. Look at it again, verse 28. And even so, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. God gave them up. God gave them up. And God gave them over. Oh, these are solemn words. These are solemn words to me. Spiritual desertion. There's a verse in the Old Testament, book of Hosea, that says, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Let him alone. Let him alone. See the emphasis. The emphasis is mine, but it's there. The Holy Spirit just deserts a person, and that person is no longer able to come to Christ, for they are no longer convicted about these things. Hebrews chapter 6, for a moment. Let's turn to this portion of God's Word, the book of Hebrews, the 6th chapter, and the verse number 4. And listen to the words of Holy Scripture. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Look at verses 5 and 6. And have tasted the good word of the Lord and the powers of the world to come, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now these verses say that there are certain people that it is impossible to renew to repentance. Who are these people? These are people who have been often reproved. It is impossible for those who have been once enlightened, who have tasted of the heavenly gift, who are made partakers of the Holy Ghost. They've gone along with the Holy Ghost. They've been dealt with by the Holy Ghost. They have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. And God has worked upon them to a great extent. If they shall fall away, that is, if they shall harden their neck. That's the meaning, that's the sense. There comes a time when it is impossible to renew them to repentance. That person knows what they ought to do, but they're not prepared to pay the price. Is that you tonight? You've tasted of these things. You know the truth.
There are people in Northern Ireland tonight, and people right across the world tonight who have sinned against the light because they know. Brought up in Christian homes and heard the gospel from their mother's knee and in Sunday school, and they know the truth, but they're sinning against the light. They love darkness rather than light because their deeds are a very solemn thing. The Bible says, be suddenly destroyed. Very serious thing. And then, of course, there's the destruction of the body through death. Many a person dies suddenly because they say no to the Lord. Maybe a physical destruction. Read about God's dealing with the Amorites in the Old Testament. They were wicked people. God spoke to them. They did not repent. And God said in Genesis 15 and 16 there was a time when the iniquity of the Amorites was not full. But there is a time when that iniquity will be full. And there's a time in the lives of individuals when the cup of iniquity is not full, but there is a time when it will be full. They can go no further. I look about out in this land tonight and we see the cup of iniquity. I see it's filling up, friend. And I fear for the future. Men and women, young people in this country are shaking their fist in the face of God tonight, rejecting the gospel. The Bible tells us then in Deuteronomy, if you go on, that verse we quoted was Genesis 15 and 16, but when you go on to Deuteronomy, chapter 7, the seventh chapter of the book of Deuteronomy in verse 17, we read these words. Deuteronomy 7, verse 17. That if thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them. Thou shalt remember what the Lord did unto Pharaoh and unto Egypt. Remember what happened? Remember the judgment that came upon them? They were swallowed up. Fearful judgment of God came upon them. God utterly destroyed them. I'm wondering if the cup of God's indignation is filled to the brim with you tonight. Are you hardening your heart against getting saved another time? The cup of iniquity is getting fuller and fuller. It's coming up to the brim. You see that you're being often reproved. You're hardening your neck. You will suddenly be destroyed. That's what the Bible says. What a serious thing. What a serious thing. For men and women listening to this sermon tonight. For you. For people in this land tonight. Further afield. And then I want you to see the settled condition, because that's the final thing here in this text. It says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear that once you have crossed that deadline, once you have come to that point and judgment begins, there's no turning back. No turning back. The Bible makes that clear. Luke chapter 16, there was no remedy for the rich man. There was no release or no relief for him. And when you're in hell forever, friend. There's no release. There's no remedy. You know, there are a lot of people in this world tonight who believe in reincarnation. They believe that you can be recycled, as it were. You can be given another chance. You can come back to this earth, somebody else or something else. Friend, that's all of the devil. It's a lie of hell tonight. There's no such a thing as reincarnation. Once you die, you die. Once you step over that deadline, you're lost forever. The Bible says,
you will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Going to the earlier verse from the book of Job, there's no ransom. There's no ransom. And friend, if hell is not everlasting, neither is heaven.
For the same Bible uses the same word to describe the same condition. Hell and heaven are both described as everlasting. He that is filthy will be filthy still. He that is unjust will be unjust. As a man dies, so will it be with him throughout all eternity. Book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, and verse 3. Some wise words in this wonderful book. It says, Ecclesiastes 11:3, the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, that the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. So it is with man, friend. So it is with man. No remedy. Did anybody ever climb out of a bottomless pit? Hell is called a bottomless pit. There's nowhere to climb, friend, out of a bottomless pit. Nowhere to climb. There's no remedy. Listen to the text again. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That without remedy. You may cross the deadline. You may cross that place where you're broken beyond repair. Beyond repair. The Bible says there'll be no remedy. It will be too late. Too late for your doom and damned soul, friend. And you will be in hell forever. Too late. Like Cain, your punishment will be greater than you can bear. But it will be forever. Come to Christ tonight while the door of mercy is still open. Thank God it's still open tonight. He extends his grace toward you. His love toward you tonight. You can be saved tonight. The word of God says, come now. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. For your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They be red like crimson. Shall be as well. You come tonight. Don't be broken beyond repair. But be saved tonight. May God bless his word to our hearts this evening. We're turning to the hymn 257 in the book on the screen. After the sowing of sin is all done, after the glory of earth has been won, after the sands of thy life have all run, oh, what shall thy reaping be? We'll stand and sing this hymn together, and at the end, perhaps our brother, Reverend Murray, will come and just conclude our meeting from the pulpit here in prayer. Thank you.
Our Father in heaven tonight, we thank thee, Lord, for thy mercy and grace in having us here gathered together under thy word. We thank thee, Lord, it was not man's word that we heard this evening, but it was that word of God from heaven. And we thank thee, Lord, for thy faithful warning to us, Lord, to be in time. Lord, how you've warned us. Life at best is very brief. But we thank thee, Lord, that you have us gathered here this evening. We've heard again the precious truth that whosoever cometh unto the Lord shall be saved. So, Lord, help us to heed the warning call of God's word. Help us, Lord, to make sure that every soul here is fastened to the rock that keeps us for all eternity. And may we know the ever-cleansing precious blood of the Lamb that cleanses away our sin and makes us as white as the snow. So, Lord, take us to home this safety, we pray. And, Lord, hide thy word deep within our hearts. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.